Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this pre-election broadcast and bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you from a rainy night, light rain anyway, in Boston, Massachusetts. And we almost escaped snow, but in October, but we had our first snowfall on October 30th, Friday. It wasn't much, and it was gone the next day, Saturday, and we were able to do a standout for the Trump campaign and the Back the Blue efforts, Back the Police. So we can't slow down. We have a big election coming up in two days. November the 3rd, and I hope you're all going to make sure you vote. I'm going to be giving some stats on the election, and I can tell you now that there's been about 82 million early votes, and then you have the mail-in votes and the absentee ballots. It's kind of somewhat confusing, and we're very concerned whether we'll get an honest vote count. Above all else, the vote count needs to be the true will of the American people. So the temperature at airtime is 49 degrees, and I want to welcome you all to the show. Hope you had a good 2 weeks and are not getting too stressed out with the corona activities, all the constant news information on the coronavirus. It is a serious matter, but if you look at the statistics, which I'm going to give soon, you can see most of the people that have been infected are recovering or have recovered. And we seem to be getting to the verge where there'll be some sort of a vaccine for preventing this horrible virus from causing the damage that it has, both from a medical health point to an economic point. And don't forget, a lot of the medical issues can be those that come from the stress of the virus, and they can cause serious issues. We hear talk about alcoholism and drug addiction and suicides. So the important thing, ladies and gentlemen, is to have faith and trust in God, and He is the main source of our strength. So again, I want to let you know that the chat room is open. It's 11 o'clock in Boston, and nobody is probably up at this time with all of the headaches that they have. So, but if you are listening and you want to call in, you can call in at 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from. And if you're outside the country, give me your first name and what country you're calling from. So let me go quickly over these latest statistics on the coronavirus pandemic. I've been doing that almost from the get-go. But on a global level, the infected amount is 46,750,677. That's up from about 40 million in 2 weeks ago. The active cases, 16,872,541. And that's up from about 8 million. The death, and the global death count is 1,204,143. And that's up from, that hasn't gone up that much. It was 1,117,356. So I think that's an indication that people are recovering. I get the recovery figures here. 33,673,983, and that's up by about 3 million. In the USA, total infected 9,456,968, and that's up from 8,380,000. The active cases in the USA 3,135,203. And that's up from 2,700,000. The deaths in the USA are, at the last count here, 236,351. And that's up from about 224,000. So it's up about 12,000, which is slightly a higher increase than the previous report. Had about a 10,000 increase in death. Now it's 12,000. So anyway, the recovered figure is now at 6 million. Remember, of the 9 million that were infected, 6 million have recovered. 6,085,415, and that's up from 5,451,000. So that looks like in the USA about two-thirds of the infected are recovered. The nine countries that have the most, that have over a million in cases, the USA is on top with the 9 million figure that I just read. India has, I'm going to round these off, 8,200,000. Brazil, 5,500,000. Russia, 1,600,000. France, 1,400,000. Spain, 1,200,000. Argentina, 1,100,000. Colombia, 1,100,000. And the UK, surprising to see them, they're below, they're now ninth, and the last country with the over a million at 1,034,914. There are two other countries approaching a million, and that would bring it up to 11 countries when we add Mexico and Peru, were each at about 900,000. So the virus is certainly a major issue, and it's on the minds of everyone, and I'm sure it'll be factored in when they decide who to vote for, and hopefully they will weigh it have a proper perspective on it, and not overblow the matter to the detriment of their own well-being. All right, before I get to some more stats on the election, I want to report a big news story that came out since our last broadcast, and that is the swearing-in of Amy Coney Barrett, sworn in to the Supreme Court of the United States after the complete Senate voted 52 to confirm her and 48 opposed, and that was strictly along party lines, except one Republican, Susan Collins of Maine, voted not to confirm her. So all the Democrats voted not to confirm her. But she was sworn in both by Justice Clarence Thomas first, and then I think the last ceremony was it be a swear-in from Chief Justice John Roberts. So she's a very bright woman. I watched some of her hearings, and she did very well. I have no problem with her being on the Supreme Court. So we'll see how she does in the cases. I'm sure she'll be getting some big ones. She may even be getting some big cases on the election with all of the talk about voter harvesting and voter fraud and the timing of the voting and what states are doing what. So I'm sure all the lawyers will be busy and that are involved in these matters. So again, we have a full complement of Supreme Court justices at 9. And we hear a lot of talk. If the Democrats get in, they may try to pack the court, since the consensus is that of the 9 justices, 6 of them tend to be toward the conservative view, and 3 of them to the liberal point of view. But basically, the Supreme Court is not supposed to be political. It's supposed to be looking at the case and applying the law, and not to satisfy a political objective. So let's hope they do that. That's what the founders intended, and they need to do that to be good judges, in my opinion. Okay, I want to go into now the presidential race and then the Senate race. Don't underestimate the importance of the Senate race, because the Senate race is very close now with 53 Republicans and 47 Democrats, and is about 35 seats up for grabs in this election. They run in a cycle of every 2 years, I believe. We have a new group running, but on this one, there's a lot of Republican senators up for re-election. And if you go to Real Clear Politics, I like to go there because it gives us an average of how the reporting is going. So on the general election, first of all, we see the Electoral College needed to win is 270, and right now they're showing 216 for the Democrats and 125 for the Republicans. But that leaves 197 as toss-ups. Now on the toss-ups, there are 12 toss-up states. I'm sorry, 9. And I'm just going to run down, give you a brief rundown of them. Arizona. I'm looking at the Senate race. At the general election for the president, there are 12, I believe. There are 12 toss-ups. And they, in the West, Nevada and Arizona and Texas. In the center of the country, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And in the East and Southeast, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, and Florida. I think that adds up to 12, because we have a couple of small votes in Nebraska and Maine. They each have two votes in Maine and one in Nebraska in addition to the Maine 4 votes. Kind of confusing about Nebraska and Maine, but I don't think that's going to be an impact, but you never know. It could be, but the votes, the states that seem to be toss-ups that are very important to watch. They have Texas as a toss-up, which has 38 votes, 38 electoral college votes. And I don't know why, I don't see that as a toss-up. So, but I'll read them off as they have them as toss-ups. In the West, Nevada with 8 votes, Arizona with 11, Texas with 38. Nevada has 6 votes. And then Minnesota, 10, Iowa, 6, Wisconsin, 10, Michigan, 10. And then in the East, Ohio at 18, Pennsylvania at 20, North Carolina at 18, at 15, Georgia at 16, and Florida at 29. Florida always seems to be a big state, an important state to watch. But I see the main state. I'm not going to go spend too much time on this, but I'm going to make a prediction that whoever wins Pennsylvania will win the election for the presidency. And Pennsylvania right now is leaning toward the Democrats. So we'll see what happens. There are a lot of them that are very, very close. And we have to watch them very close as the Tuesday night votes come in. And we may not know Tuesday night who the winner is, but I think we'll have a pretty good idea. But it seems to be an election that is unlike any in the past. Now let's go switch over here to the Senate. As they say, the Senate is a big race, a lot of big races, and there's with no toss-ups. I'm showing on Real Clear Politics that it's a deadlock at 50-50. As you know, there's 100 senators, so we have 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans. The ones that have changed from their incumbent status are Colorado and Arizona switching from, and North Carolina and Maine switching from Republican to Democrat, and one state, Alabama, switching from Democrat to Republican. So that gives the Democrats a pickup of 3, and they had 47, so they would then be at 50-50. And then that makes the presidential race very important, since the vice president would be the vote to break that deadlock. So it's very, very important if you're in these battleground states. Again, Senate race, Arizona, Georgia, Iowa, Maine, Michigan, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, North Carolina, and South Carolina. So you can go onto realclearpolitics.com and look at the statistics, and you can even fill out the map with your own. You can make your own map, which I've done quite a bit in the last few weeks. But I see it as those states, and it looks like there's about 5 of them that are under 2%. 5 of the Senate seats, with the election being, I mean, the difference being 2% or less. And those 5 states would be Georgia, Iowa, um, not North Carolina. Five states. South Carolina and Montana. So, if you're in those states, or actually in any state, get out and vote. You have your three V's. Your voice, your valuables. You can use your valuables and send a contribution to a candidate if you don't have the time to work for them or they're not close to your location. You can send them a contribution. And then finally, you vote. So Tuesday, be sure to vote. The total votes cast early voting is 82 million. And then you have the, as they say, the 82 million is people going in person to vote. But then you have the mail-in votes and the absentee ballots. So it's a tough job. We've got to improve the method of ensuring the integrity of the vote. All right, well, let me go on to something else. There's a big issue that's been coming to the forefront in the last few weeks. It should have come a lot earlier because the Hilltop, or the laptop from hell, is now starting to get some attention. And it should have, it's been in the hands of the federal government since the end of 2019. So the question is, why has this not been looked into more? Because what seems to be coming out is a lot of information that I don't think the American public would appreciate. And you can do some research on it yourself. But what's on that laptop, and if the laptop is valid and legitimate and not doctored to have an agenda, then it needs to be looked at. Sort of reminds me somewhat of the birth certificate issue, where the question was it a valid birth certificate? Is this document valid? But the news that has come out is, and it's now being picked up a little bit by the mainstream media, in particular ABC, as they've done a tweet on Hunter Biden's laptop. And in that regard, I'm going to play a clip from Dr. Lively, where he's talking about it on his hour-long show that he does every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And he does it with Pastor Richard May. They're both in Tennessee. He's in Memphis, and Pastor May is in Knoxville. I'm going to play a little of this clip. I might have to cut it short, and I might play the rest of it in the non-live portion. But here we go.
I'm seeing on the screen here, I forgot that we had wanted to bring in the Biden scandals and the significance of that. I don't know how many people realize that ABC News has broken ranks with the rest of the corporate media and actually reported on the Hunter Biden scandals, real reporting, right? Not just some cursory smooth over, justify, rationalize, and poo-poo, right? This is hard-hitting investigative journalism. And we've never played a clip on our show before, but are you... You willing to listen to this for a minute and 30 seconds?
Richard? Absolutely.
Go ahead and play that there, Mike.
At issue was Hunter Biden profiting off his dad's work as vice president, and did Joe Biden allow it? We're talking about millions of dollars in at least two countries.
Mr. Vice President, Tom Yamas of ABC News, how you doing? Got a quick question for you.
It's a question we tried to ask repeatedly.
Can we ask you about Ukraine and China?
But kept getting blocked. Questions about foreign deals his son Hunter Biden pursued.
My father, Joe Biden.
In countries where Joe Biden was working as America's top diplomat. In 2014, Ukraine, of corruption, revolted. Vice President Joe Biden went to Kiev to help the new government.
You have to fight the corruption.
But then, something strange happened. Just 3 weeks later, a Ukrainian natural gas company, Burisma, accused of corruption, appoints Hunter Biden, seen here in their promotional videos, to their board of directors, paying his firm more than $1 million a year. Hunter, a lawyer who had just been discharged from the Navy Reserves for testing positive for cocaine.
Mr. Hunter Biden?
He had served on other boards, but had no known experience in Ukraine or natural gas. We went to Kiev and found even among Joe Biden supporters in Ukraine, Hunter's hiring was troubling.
How do you judge what Hunter Biden was doing?
I think that Hunter Biden did a very bad thing, and he was very wrong. He allowed his name to be abused.
And yeah, so that's the clip. And I tell you, you know, I've been to Ukraine. It was part of my 50-city tour that I did in 2007, working with a Russian-speaking church based out of Riga, Latvia. And I spoke in several Ukrainian cities. I've got friends, a lot of friends that I made during that time and subsequently, Ukrainians. And I was actually asked last year, or maybe about 18 months ago, I was asked to go back to Ukraine to be part of, to do some speaking against the whole LGBT agenda that's been pushed relentlessly by the Democrats in Ukraine. And they wanted somebody to come and counter what the Democrats have been doing there. And for the first time in my entire ministry life, I've been to 66 countries, the Holy Spirit said, don't go.
Okay, well, he was getting a warning from above about that trip, but I can't play anymore because I'm running out of time, so I want to quickly say go to scottlively.net and watch the whole thing. I'm going to play some more of it in the non-live portion. I won't give you any Dow Jones figures or stock market figures. I'll just say that the GDP has expanded 33.1%. On an annualized rate in the third quarter. That's a big plus for the president. It was down a similar amount in the second quarter, so there's some indication that it's bouncing back. But the approval rate for the president has gone up a little. It's 45.3. The disapproval has gone down a little at 53.0. And I want to say that there's a Catholic priest video that's gone viral, where he says no Christian can vote for Biden. You might want to go to Dr. Chaps' website, prayinjesusname.org, and look at that clip. So that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. Get out and vote. It's important. We will be back in 2 weeks, and this next show will be on November the 15th. We'll have a lot of information for you then. You'll already know about a lot of it. But do your duty and vote and get your friends and family and neighbors and everybody that you can to the polls too. So that's about it. Good night. God bless you. And God bless America.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you with the non-live portion of the show, and you know more call-ins. This is just me broadcasting what I think is important, and of course, I left off on the live portion with the clip from Dr. Lively, so I think I'm going to continue with that because he expresses the issues very well, and I think this is extremely important, this laptop issue, and we need to dig into it. I think it may even continue after the election, regardless of who wins. So let's continue on with Dr. Lively speaking with Richard May. They have formed a good friendship and bond, as they both, I think, have our best interest at heart. But here we go.
I've never had that happen before, ever. And the sense that I had, the reason was that the corruption there is so high level and so extensive that my life would genuinely be at risk just by being there at the same time those people were there. I didn't know anything about the Bidens and all that in Ukraine at the time. But then at least a year ago, I wrote an article titled the Democrat Crime Scene Called Ukraine, based on the stuff that I did know that had nothing to do with the Biden scandals. I didn't even know that those things existed. So this is now filling in all the blank spaces in terms of what was going on in Ukraine, that the Bidens were up to their eyeballs in this. But again, so was Hillary Clinton, and so was Barack Obama. Well, Barack Obama orchestrated and admitted that they orchestrated the coup that took out the pro-Russian president and replaced him with their own stooge. And
the part that disturbs me the most is, from the point of view of a father, he has to have known that his son had some very troubling personality characteristics from the very beginning. And yet, it's very clear that from flying on, second presidential Air Force Two, he was dragging him along in very high-stress situations, in high-power situations that require a lot of responsibility. And this kid was obviously not up to it, and yet his father continued to do that. What kind of father would do that?
Well, you see that in the emails, and I've read a lot of the emails that have been published by the conservative and alternative media, and I've been fairly closely following the laptop from hell. As more and more information has come out, and you see the emails from Hunter regarding his father, you can feel the resentment that he has. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things. Every son loves his father, and then to be used by someone like Joe Biden to be the bag man for a criminal enterprise that's at the highest level of politics in the world. That is that's a tough thing. I feel sorry for him in some ways, but and especially someone, I was an addict and an alcoholic myself, and I know that when you're in that mentality, when you're in that life, that you're capable of anything. And there were things that I was offered to do, things that thank God I never did, but I would have done just because I had no self-restraint. And yet here, this young man, actually not even all that young, has received millions of dollars in compensation for being the one to be the conduit of foreign money to his father, apparently, and getting a big chunk of that for himself, and just living the life of a billionaire, right, around the world, prostitutes and drugs. But then, like you mentioned, Richard, last time, that it seems like he actually wanted to get caught by leaving the laptops at the repair place and not going, leaving all that information in the hard drives, right? Knowing, he had to have known that there was enormous risk of this stuff coming out, but he did it anyway. And he never went back to get it. He never went back to pick it back up.
got you've been in the environment of the down and outers of our world, the guys that are at the end of their rope.
800 bridges, man.
A lot of these guys are crying for help.
Yeah.
And that may have been his only way to do that.
It may very well have. But
to destroy his father, may have been his only way to escape all of this.
Well, it gets deeper than all this, and there are things that he did that I don't have sympathy for, and that involve sexuality with minors.
Yeah.
And some of the pictures that have come out,
horrible stuff.
There's 25,000 photographs that have been on this laptop, and some of them involve him with underage girls, and one in particular who's a family member. And there's even pictures that he posted to Pornhub, which is a big pornography website, that he posted there that actually has him exposing himself to the camera. And this is all blurred out, of course, in the pictures that we're seeing. And then her actually sitting in the background with her face all blurred out.
You've been pushing it back against the LGBT movement for how many years?
30 years. That was pretty much a single-issue ministry for me. And a couple of years, when I ran for governor of Massachusetts, that was really the beginning of shifting away from single-issue to a full-spectrum conservative.
But between that and your scholarly research into this phenomenon and the books you've written, have you ever seen the absence of an association between this kind of behavior and pedophilia? Or is it almost always connected?
Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
It's a part of the issue that they will never, ever want to bring up.
Yeah, well, Alex Jones actually did a show on that. We've got that. It's News Wars. I don't know. Is News Wars part of InfoWars? I don't know.
I believe so.
Yeah. There's a 41-minute program that's talking about the because they somehow, I don't know how they ever got a hold of this, they got a hold of Ashley, I think her name is Ashley Biden, diary. And I've seen some of the pages of that purport to be the pages, where she is alleging years of sexual molestation and inappropriate sexual behavior by both Biden and her father, Joe, right? Like showers, right? But she's a young girl in the shower with her father, Joe, she is staying, complaining about in retrospect. So this is the kind of thing that this man, the idea that this man would run for president, would allow himself to be a candidate, knowing that this information is out there, right, it's mind-boggling that the Democrat elites, the FBI had the laptop since December, so. You can't tell me that Ray or whoever it is their agents are at the high level did not pick up the phone and call Obama or whoever it is that's managing all this stuff and say, this is what they brought in, right? What are we going to do? You know, so it's unfathomable. It's impossible in my mind for the Dem elites not to have to know that this was all their...
If we know, they know it.
Yeah. And then, that's what's going on. And Biden is toast, and he should be toast. And in my political theory, I believe, and Jeannie has joined us, by the way, and the other half of our live studio audience. Thank you, Jeannie, for coming.
The more lively.
That's right. More lively. Yes. And it's a sordid mess. And then ABC News, right, as we just played that clip, I think that clip actually was posted on the same day that Alex Jones did this about the sexual molestation allegations. And I think ABC News, I think to me that's proof If ABC News did this, that's proof that they know that Trump is going to win, right? Even with all the cheating. These guys are as clued in as it's possible to be. But they also have another motive for this, in that they are livid, absolutely livid, with Gavin Newsom in California, because Newsom is refusing to unlock California and is saying that Disneyland is not going to be able to be open for business possibly until sometime in 2022.
Well, did you hear about what...
Disney owns ABC. Yeah.
Did you hear about his latest thing, his guidelines, his mandatory guidelines for Thanksgiving and Christmas?
I think so, but refresh my memory.
Okay. No more than three households can congregate together. They must congregate outdoors, not indoors. They can only congregate together for a maximum of 2 hours. They may remove their face coverings to take a bite of food, but only for that. There is to be no singing, chanting, or shouting.
It's like a different planet. I mean, it's like if you wrote a movie script, right? If you had written a movie script about this and you tried to sell it to Hollywood 10 years ago, there's no way. No one's ever going to believe this. It's preposterous. And yet here it is. This is the reality in the largest state in the union. Or is Texas the largest state? I don't know.
Alaska's the largest.
Well, geographically, Alaska is the largest, but in terms of population, it's probably California. Anyway, like a tenth of the population of the country in one state. And all being ruled by this outrageous tyrant. It's really, truly. You know, I was thinking the other day, right, that especially with the science that's still coming out about COVID, right, everybody is eventually going to get it, right?
All right, well, that's about all the time we have to play that clip. It runs for another 15 minutes or so, or 10 minutes, I think. Let's see. Anyway, you can go on to scottlively.net and play the whole thing. The whole program runs for a little over an hour. So that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. Well, there's one thing I wanted to play as we get ready for the election. Do you like the spirit that Donald Trump has, or do you like what you hear here from Joe Biden?
The summer, we're about to go into a dark winter. Dark winter. And he has no clear plan, and there's no...
Yeah, dark winter. That's his gloom and doom approach. Meanwhile, the president is on a more upbeat, as you can see from his rally. So that's about it. God bless you all. Get out and vote. And remember, God bless America, and in God we trust. Good night, everyone.